Radio Prague News. The IMF report revising the country's growth forecast in 2012 will result in further budget cuts, the finance ministry said Wednesday. The head of the country's elite organized crime squad is in trouble for allegedly giving a suspect advance warning of his planned arrest. And Petr Dvořák has been elected the new executive director of Czech Public Television. The finance ministry has confirmed that the IMF report revising the country's growth forecast in 2012 would result in further budget cuts. Finance ministry spokesman Andrzej Jakob told the Daily Prawo that the ministry had taken note of the revised figure and would further amend the budget so as to meet the set deficit of 105 billion crowns. The budget had been tailored to an economic growth of 2.5% in 2012. The IMF on Tuesday cut its estimate from a previous 2.9% to 1.8%, with analysts predicting an even worse performance should the EU's leading economies slip into recession. The head of the country's elite organized crime squad, Robert Szlachta, is in trouble for allegedly giving a suspect advance warning of his planned arrest. The suspect formerly worked for the police force in a subordinate position to the police chief. Mr. Szlachta has rejected the accusation, claiming it is an attempt to discredit him. A police inspection is investigating the case. Petr Dvořák, the former head of commercial TV Nova, has been elected the new executive director of Czech Public Television. Mr. Dvořák, a hot favorite from the first round, won 12 votes from a 15-member committee. The chair of the committee, Milan Ude, said Dvořák had presented an impressive policy concept and was clearly the best candidate. In his analysis of Czech television's performance, Mr. Dvořák criticized the work of the news and current affairs departments, said public television was bogged down in a production crisis, and stressed the need for more educational programs for children. He is to take up his post on October 1st. A Prague district court on Wednesday handed the head of the Czech Association of Midwives, Ivana Königsmarková, a 2-year suspended sentence for inflicting grievous bodily harm through negligence. The midwife assisted a difficult home birth, which lasted for the better part of 3 days and resulted in the child suffering severe brain damage. Doctor said later that with proper hospital care, the mother could have delivered a perfectly healthy baby. They blamed the midwife for failing to assess the situation correctly and call a doctor and ambulance. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be sunny to partly cloudy, with day temperatures between 17 and 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, a proposal seeking direct election of the Czech president has made it through the lower house. But will it have any better success than previous proposals? Prague's Vietnamese community holds its first ever day of Vietnamese culture. And later on in the program, Spotlight and the Prague Palace made infamous by the Gestapo. All that and more coming up in today's show, so do stay tuned. A government proposal seeking direct popular election of the Czech president made it through the lower house of parliament on Tuesday, a significant success for an idea that lawmakers have dealt with 8 times already. Nevertheless, while the coalition and the opposition may have reached a rare consensus for the time being, any such change to the constitution remains fraught by the fact that each party envisions very different conditions for popular elections, and many pundits and political scientists see the popular issue as a non-starter. Professor Jiří Pehe of New York University, for one, tells me the prospect of direct presidential elections is science fiction. I asked him why.
I think that the proposal to change the constitution so that the president could be elected directly is a smokescreen, basically, from the beginning. I think that political parties realized after the last election of the president that was really a very undignified spectacle, which irritated the public. And so they decided, basically all of them, that they should start discussing the direct election of the president. But at the same time, I think that none of the major parties really meant it seriously. And it's been clear in the last 4 years that this discussion will not produce a constitutional amendment simply because the devil is in the detail. And so while all the parties agree in general that there should be direct election of the president, at the same time they have convenient excuses when it comes to reasons why it is really not possible, why they cannot agree with the other parties.
So you feel like their hearts aren't really in it. What would be some evidence for that?
Well, I think that first, before the current government coalition submitted its own proposal, there had been a proposal of the Social Democratic Party in the parliament, and it was clear that the proposal by the Social Democratic Party wasn't overly ideological or offensive. It was something that the coalition could have worked with, but it decided to produce its own draft, and this draft differed from what the Social Democrats had proposed. So it was clear to someone like myself, who has followed Czech politics for a long time, that this is just a pretext for not approving this constitutional amendment, that political parties actually like this current system in which they can behind the scenes make all kinds of deals tied to the election of the president and then come up with their own candidate.
Well, a number of political scientists are against the idea of direct election or popular election of the president from the outset. Are you amongst them, and why?
Well, I'm of two minds. First, in general, I don't think there is any real need to introduce the direct election of the president in the Czech Republic, which is sort of a classical parliamentary democracy. And we can see what kinds of problems we have even now when the president is elected by the parliament. So in my opinion, it would be probably better not only to have a president elected by the parliament, but also a president with fewer powers and more clearly defined powers. On the other hand, if you look at the way in which the president was elected, not only in 2008, but also 2003, it was really a farce, because it was clear that Czech political parties, unfortunately, are unable to come up with some kind of compromise. They cannot, in a dignified manner, which this kind of election would deserve, come up with one or two candidates and then elect the president. And so we were witnessing really a farce in which Mr. Klaus was elected in 2003 after 9 attempts, and the last time it was after 3 attempts. There were all kinds of behind-the-scenes deals and so on. So I think that just to remove this kind of behavior, it would be better to have a direct election of the president, and I think that that would be probably the only reason to have the direct election at the current time.
Political scientist Jiří Pehe there on the idea of direct election of the Czech president. This is Radio Prague. Now, Prague's sizable Vietnamese community recently held its first ever day of Vietnamese culture, an open event in the center of town which drew a mixed crowd of Vietnamese and Czechs. What has been a rather closed society appears to be slowly opening up to outsiders as Czech-born Vietnamese become increasingly confident about their identity and Czechs learn there is more to Vietnamese people than an army of convenience store proprietors. Rob Cameron has more.
A pair of Vietnamese dragons brave the drizzle in Prague's Namysti Miru Square, the four dancers gyrating in their bright red and yellow costumes to the beat of a drum. This was Prague's first Vietnamese Day of Culture, offering a rare glimpse into this secretive community.
typická rybí omáčka, bambus nakládaný v Chile, chili omáčka.
At a food stall, market trader and university student Nguyen Mai Hung is showing me the cornucopia of rare Vietnamese goodies laid out for the delectation of passers-by. Hung, who moved here in 1993 at the age of 5, says she still feels Vietnamese, but the Czech Republic is now home.
We still think as Vietnamese, but we are integrated in the Czech society. We are more integrated than the previous generation.
Right, so the Vietnamese community here is becoming more and more integrated, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And is it a good thing?
I think so. You know, our parents, they can integrate because they don't know language. But we do, so that's an easy thing for us to make friends with Czech people.
At a nearby tent, Nguyen Viet Phung is showing DVDs about the life and culture of his native Hanoi. Phung moved here just 5 years ago and, like Hung, is also studying at university. Each summer he goes home to Hanoi for the holidays, something that clearly elicits mixed feelings.
Come back to Vietnam from the very modern and much better country, you know what I mean? The youth people or the younger has to respect the older.
Here it's quite different, right?
Yes. And because here in church, I see some old man or old woman alone in the supermarket or in the metro or tramway. They don't have anyone to help in my country. It's very bad if leave their grand or grandparent to go out alone.
Officially, there are 61,000 Vietnamese living in the Czech Republic, the largest immigrant population after Slovaks and Ukrainians, although the real number is most likely much higher. They first came as refugees in the 1950s, with successive waves following as part of communist exchange programs. Their communities are generally quiet, law-abiding and hard-working, but recent generations of young Vietnamese seem less constrained by the rigid social and ethnic confines of their parents. Trang Quynh Giang, who goes by the Czech name Marketa, is a high school student. I asked her whether she felt more Vietnamese or more Czech.
That's a very interesting question, because sometimes until now I still ask myself if I feel more Vietnamese or Czech, because when I'm in Czech I feel more Vietnamese, but when I'm in Vietnam I feel more Czech. So it's quite confusing. So I think I'm like a banana, like outside it's yellow but inside it's white.
Despite that growing confidence, so far there's been little movement into the Czech mainstream. There are no Vietnamese MPs or senators, no Vietnamese football stars, no actors, musicians or TV personalities. But one senses that with a new generation of fluent Czech speakers, ambitious, international, multicultural young people of great talent and ingenuity, that's only a matter of time.
Many thanks to Rob Cameron for that report. To those of you who may just be tuning in, we thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Later on in the program, we'll have our language learning program, Soundcheck. But first, our weekly program, Spotlight. If you're not looking for it, then you'll probably overlook the rather nondescript building of the Ministry of Industry near the top of Prague's Wenceslas Square. If, however, you are one of the few who read Prague's street-side memorial signs, you get the full impact of what the dirty grey, rough-hewn building called Pecek's Palace means to modern Czech history. In the time of the Nazi occupation, it reads, this building housed the torture chambers of the Gestapo. Fighters for the freedom of our country fought, suffered, and died here. We will never forget their memory, and will be loyal to their legacy. People, be on guard.
Tak, abyste viděli, kdo jsem. Moje jméno je 27352.
So, just so you know who I am, my name is 27352. I still have this piece of cloth with my number thanks to a bit of craftiness. If your number was dirty, then you'd really be in for it. So I had another one made to keep in my pocket, and I took it home with me afterwards.
A to jsem si přinesl domů.
František Vrecel is a small, stout, and tireless-looking 90-year-old. As a young man, he had been a scout, and when that organization was outlawed by the Nazis in 1939, they continued under the guise of the Czech Hikers Club until they were found out in 1944, and 24 of them were arrested. Unable to get any information out of them and fearing the repercussions of Berlin discovering that the scouts had continued their activities for the previous 5 years, the Gestapo hid them away in concentration camps before sending them on the long march. Mr. Vrecel told me about his arrival at the first stop on that journey, there in Peček's palace.
Já jsem sem šel sám, mě nezatkli.
I came here on my own. I wasn't arrested. I came home one evening and my mother's head was bandaged and she said that they come looking for me. So I had to choose. I could have a nice sleep before they came for me at 2 a.m. and found things in my house that they shouldn't have found. I could run, but then they would have thought they'd found a big fish and hell would break loose. So I said I'd better go and just see what happens. So I came here and didn't get out again.
No, tak jsem se přišel a už jsem o to nebyl.
The building got the nefarious nickname Pečkárna during the war, and the street in front of it has since been called the Political Prisoners. But the name of Pečskův Palác recalls a very different history. The rooms that would later become torture chambers were built by a Jew named Dr. Julius Peček. He was a financier of the First Republic, a major player in the coal mining industry, and in the golden years of the 1920s he constructed the very modern Peček & Co. banking house. Radim Chyba is from the Czech Freedom Fighters Society, which manages the museum in the building today.
This building functioned as a bank until the spring of 1938. And then the Pečeks, as a Jewish family, understood from the developments in neighboring Germany that they would not be able to stay here. They sold the building to the Czechoslovak state, and they moved to Britain, where they survived the war. And it was empty until the Gestapo took it over in the early summer of
1939.
Dissatisfied with the hotel they had been using as their seat until then, the Gestapo found Mr. Peček's palace just the thing for their needs. It was furnished with the most modern communications equipment, among other things, a telephone exchange and even a pneumatic post, as well as certain structural advantages.
So this is a little cell about less than 2 meters wide. 2 meters long, there's a tiny, tiny little wooden bed.
Vidíme tady v ty cely, které se zde nacházejí, tak to původně byly...
These cells that we see here were originally vaults for corporate clients. Each client had their own, and they were then turned into cells for the detained prisoners while they waited to be interrogated. There's hardly any light, no sink, not even a toilet. They look today exactly as the Gestapo left them.
More than 37,000 people went through the basement of the palace where they were processed, incarcerated, interrogated, tortured, and very often died. How many suffered the last of those fates is unknown.
Tady na tomto sloupu této místnosti vlastně naši státní vlajka.
The Czech flag hangs here on this pillar as a mark of respect. Just under it, where those tiles are, there was a hole into the cellar. Those who didn't survive the Gestapo's interrogations were dumped here into small wagons, and every night they were taken to the crematorium at Strašnice and incinerated.
Mr. Vrecel says that as a scout he had the advantage of knowing how to survive anything. He could live on a piece of bread a day, he says, by taking it to a table, cutting it into slices, and savoring it slowly like a fine steak. Unlike most people of his generation who I've met, he is not hesitant to speak about what he endured at the age of 24, and leaves little to the imagination as to how hard it would have been for others who lacked his resilience to survive the Pečkárna.
Dali mi pouta a musel jsem se postavit takhle. a tady jsem měl ty pouta.
They put shackles on me with my wrists around my legs, like this. And I said, well, that wasn't much you did to me, except that after a while everything starts to itch and sweat starts to run off your forehead. And they would come and look at the puddle and say, that's nothing, there has to be a whole lake full. But then your legs give in, you itch and you start to lose balance. So I said, either I'm going to fall head first into the door or onto the sink. But then they came and unlocked me, and that was when the real pain began, when the blood rushes back into your body. It was like billions of hells. Then they'd stand me up against a wall, whirl a rope and land it in between my legs, which was wonderfully painful, I assure you. So that was the kind of things they'd think up, and before it began again, there'd be another 12 hours without food.
While buildings on Wenceslas Square and elsewhere in the vicinity were pounded to dust in the closing months of the war, Pechkarna was left untouched for whatever reason. As the soldiers inside saw the end approaching around May 5th of 1945, as Prague revolted, they went into the street in front of the headquarters and captured 50 people at random to hold as human shields against an attack. But eventually even the Gestapo realized that resistance was futile. Radim Chyba again.
Pracovníci Gestapa 9.
In the morning hours of May 9, 1945, the Gestapo workers up and left the building and went west, ending up in the hands of the Americans. Slowly, the 50 hostages who were sitting in this room realized that there was no one guarding them. They started looking around and found that there was no one there, and that that was the end. So they tore off this piece off the window blinds, and all 50 of them signed it as a keepsake and gave it to the memorial here after the war.
Until we met in the basement of Pechek's palace, František Vrecel had not set foot in the building in 65 years, not because he had avoided it, but because there was no point as he saw it. I don't think I've ever used the word indefatigable about anyone, but then I've never met anyone to whom it applied so perfectly.
Podívejte se, znáte trochu Bibli?
No.
Tak tam byli dva lidi, byli to bráchové.
Look here, you know the Bible a little. There were two brothers, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And people have been torturing each other ever since, and they will probably never stop until it's all over with.
Dokud se neskončí. Ten svět se nesmí brát moc vážně. Němci na to mají jednu hezkou říkánku.
You can't take the world too seriously. The Germans have a nice rhyme about this. They say, man muss das Leben eben nehmen, wie das Leben eben ist. You have to take life as it is. An Englishman says, home is where you hang your hat. So I was at home even in this place. I just didn't allow myself to think about the fact that the trees were blooming in Prague, that the girls were walking around on Petrín Hill, or about what my mother was doing. Nothing. I'm at home right now, I said, and I have to make sure I stay out of trouble. Most importantly, you can't lose your sense of humor.
To nechyt. A hlavně nesmí ztratit člověk humor.
Of the tens of thousands who went through Pechek's palace, František Vrecel is one of the few left to attest to what occurred there. And so the building of the Ministry of Industry passes further into inconspicuousness with every generation, eventually leaving only a street sign and the aged artifacts of the museum cases. That edition of Spotlight was first broadcast in March of 2010. Now, topping off our show for today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Daniela Lazarová.
Bonsoir, monsieur. Klaním se vám. Podnik jak klícka, uznáte sám. Chutná tu všem, pokrm i kvas. U sousedů by ukradli vám. Já mám plnej sejf.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's piece is from the musical Les Misérables and is one you'll probably recognize, Master of the House.
Tak se kde kdo ptá, kdo že je tu
In Czech, the literal translation of master of the house would be pán domu. But the Czech lyrics, in the Czech lyrics, the phrase used is the boss or chef, because it rhymes better in this case. The expression chef comes from the English word chief and is used very often in colloquial speech. The formal expression is vedoucí, meaning head, or ředitel, director. Chef is a very broad expression that denotes anyone above you in the workplace hierarchy, be it the head of a bakery or an important institution. Now, there are special terms used for politicians in leading posts, in other words, for big shots. Some of them are labeled papaláše, a derogative term dating back to the communist days, used to describe greedy bosses who abuse their power and position to their own ends. Another expression you may hear to describe a big shot is velký zvíře, or big animal. Or else, pan někdo, when somebody is Mr. Somebody, they are calling the shots, as opposed to Mr. Nikdo or Mr. Nobody. Out on a walkabout, President Klaus chastised a woman from the crowd who said she was so happy he'd stopped to talk to her, even if she was a nobody. Mr. Klaus proceeded to give her a self-confidence pep talk. People who are at the other end of the scale are the little people, the small fry, or the nobodies, as the woman described herself. In Czech, if you want to say you do not have the clout to arrange something, you say na to jsem malý pán. I'm too small a master for that. A very quaint expression for small fry is small beer, malé pivo. But then what else would you expect in the Czech Republic? If someone says, já nejsem žádný malý pivo, they're saying, I am no small fry, take me seriously. Small fries at work are called boskoci, which comes from the word skok, meaning jump. A boskok is a person who jumps to orders and runs errands for everyone. Or else you can call them a podrštaška, a very old expression meaning hold bag. In other words, a person who holds other people's bags while they do business. And that's all we have time for today. I hope today's lesson helps you find your way around the Czech workplace and that your boss is not a papaláš. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
That was Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by good old-fashioned post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. For me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.